Thursday the 4th of September. Thursday the 3rd of 4th of September. Channel 2 over. This is Channel 2 over on Shirley's tape. I just telephoned Shirley and said, she said, hello. I said, why, good morning. And she picked it up as if no time had elapsed. I said, Faye and I are just sitting around here this morning, and we'd appreciate a little visit. She didn't hardly think. She says, I said, who's over there with you? She says, Tommy's the only one. She says, I'll get in the truck and come on over there. And this is Channel 2 over. Channel 2 over on Shirley's reel. Shirley and Berman at the Thursday, the 4th of September.
Just made it all the worse. It's so sticky, and now I think we're gonna have some nice.
Tommy needs a drink, Faye. I can tell by looking at him.
You need a drink right away, Tommy?
He can't wait. He's not waiting.
He just got from the table a while ago. I thought I'd get over a little earlier, but I kept having company. I had company when you called.
Oh, really?
And they come and go every day, you know. So
yeah.
I can visit with them anytime. I told them, I said, I have to go see these people. I haven't seen them in some time.
That's right.
So Shirley, I just took off.
This has been the dadburnedest season I ever saw in my life.
I know it, isn't it? It's terrible.
Rain.
Rain every day.
Yes, sir. And you try to do something and it'll cut you out.
Yesterday I didn't wash clothes for the first time in 2 weeks and it didn't rain.
How about that?
I've been hanging them up inside anywhere I can find any place to dry them, blowing on them if that need be. But yesterday I said, well, shoot, there's no sense in washing today. It's going to rain. And it didn't rain a drop.
With your family, I think you'd have a regular laundry over there.
Oh, I wash at least two loads of clothes every day. And
hang them out?
Oh, yes. I like the sunshine on them.
I
don't care about the dryers.
Yeah.
I think they take a lot out of the... Well, so many of my clothes have elastic in them, like their little breeches, you know, and their undergarments all have their elastic in them. I have to hang them out anyhow, and that's two-thirds of my wash right there. Their little breeches that have the... See, he has elastic in the back of his breeches to help hold them up, and that heat in the dryer ruins them, so I'd have to hang them up, and... I might as well hang up the rest. And the sheets, I want the sheets out in the sunshine. I feel like I like that fresh air smell in them.
So you got an ally.
You
I
too.
I hate to dry the clothes in the dryer.
I do too. It's just, I don't know. Towels now. Towels come out pretty good in the dryer. They come out fluffy. They smell pretty good.
But I'll tell you, I'm the one that vetoes Faye. She wants to. We don't have a washer. It's simpler for us, you know, to have it 2 weeks. The washing machine. She wants to bring them home and put them on the line. But I'm
the one that changes them out there, you see, every time the clock comes up, or leave them out at night.
Yeah, well, I like that sunshine.
And time you take them down two or three times.
That's what I did just before I come over. I'd run down, get my clothes off the line, and I thought, well, boy, I'll beat the rain today. I know it's going to rain before I get back, because I left all the windows open.
Yourself. I don't think you...
I'm withering away. I'm slowly disappearing.
How much have you lost?
70 pounds, exactly.
Why, sure.
And I lost most of that in here about 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah.
I lost it all in about 5 months' time.
Yeah.
And I'm still gradually losing, which I'm thankful for. I want to lose about another 30 pounds, and I'll be satisfied.
Yeah, well, you look like a schoolgirl then.
But I'm beginning to feel like one a little bit, you know, more than I was. I was getting so short-winded and tired. If I didn't get my work done by 12 o'clock, I just couldn't go. Now I go all day long.
Oh, really?
I just, there's just no end to what I can do.
Are you going to get
amazing.
A herd? You'll have a herd of cattle. Like
I don't know. I've had my interest in sewing, and Berman's been sick, you know, and so I've been taking over his mowing and disking and whatnot, and I've had his work and mine too, so I think that's another reason why I've lost more weight, but that tractor will do it if you stay on it all day.
Yes, sir.
So he says, well, what are you going to do when you get everything mowed? You won't be able to lose any more weight on the tractor. I said, well, I'll go out and ride the horse a while. But he's been so provoked. He's had the worst sicknesses of anyone I've ever seen. Just bad luck. It's not really down in the bed sick, but it's just bad luck, I'd call it. I don't know whether he got up against a weed, or I still think some kind of an insect bit him on the end of the nose. And his whole face swelled and turned to a deep reddish rash. It was a streptococcus thing, really, more than anything. And he had a lump in his jaw down in here.
Uh-oh.
And he went to Dr. Cunningham, and right away they popped him with a shot, and they told him to go to the hospital, and he said he didn't have time to go to the hospital. I said, yes, no one has time to die. But he said, it comes to us if we don't take care of ourselves. So he lay there for a while on the table recuperating from the shot. And we talked about it with the doctor, and he said that he would let him go home, but he absolutely had to go to bed. And he says, I want to tell you the seriousness of this. He said, if you hadn't come in here this morning, by 12 o'clock this noon, this would have been, which was already up to his temples, would have affected his mind. It was already that close.
Why, Shirley?
It had some way of paralyzing the mind or destroying it in some way that you can't, you don't have much sense afterwards. So after they told him that, he went home and went to bed.
How long
but
did
it was
been?
It's a quick acting thing that hits you and it just gets right to the brain.
You think it was a bite?
Right, I think it was a bite that bit him on the end of the nose. It started out with a soreness, and then he had an aching, like you were coming down with a flu, you know, this aching feeling you have. And then he ran a high fever. And when that fever came up and I couldn't break it, I got worried. It went up to 104. And I called the doctor and told him about it, and he asked if Berman thought it was a flu, you know, at the time. But he told him about the soreness in the nose.
I can hear you, Charlie.
So the doctor didn't think too much, you know, about it at first when I called.
Yeah.
So I kept trying to break his fever with Tylenol and aspirin and cooling him down, and it didn't work. So the next morning, he got up, and his eyes were swollen almost shut, just like a Chinaman. Just like that, just a slanted. And his whole face was all red, all in through here. And the redness you could see was crawling right up through to his temples on the outside. So I got scared. I said, you're going to the doctor whether you like it or not. And I made him go. And that's what they told him when he got there.
Uh-huh.
How long has that been?
That's been... Let me see, 3 weeks ago, and then last week, he had to go in and have minor surgery. On his bottom, he had a clot to come up, and he had to have that removed. He said that was so painful to him, and by the time they cut on him, he said he never did. He didn't think there was going to be much to it. And I told him to call me from the office, and I would go in with Mrs. Hamilton. She was headed to town. No, he didn't call. He was going to be a man and come home by himself. And he said all the way home, he never did sit down. How he drove that car home, I don't know, but he said he didn't sit down. I had to laugh. But and then this past week, he this has been 4 weeks ago that he had this rash on his face, and then the following week he had this clot removed, and then last week he hit his thumb with a hammer out there at the house laying floor, you know. He took the hammer and he just come down, and you know that oak flooring is hard, and you have to hit it a heavy lick. And he come down. He said he never has hit a nail that hard in his life. He knows. And it missed him. It hit his thumb. And that thing, oh boy, he went around there. I thought he was going to lose his Christianity right there, you know. But he went around shaking his thumb and hopping on one foot and then the other. And I put it in pull packs, you know, and everything I could think of. And so he had to go to the doctor with it. Eventually, it started turning green all down his thumb, and he thought he had gangrene. So they had to give him another shot for that. It just turned bad, you know. And there was a big clot in there, and the blood had all clotted in one place and made it awful sore. So he's about to grow out another thumb now, but there was a little bit of an infection that settled down in the base of the thumb.
Tommy had it. Isn't that glass too small for Tommy's leg?
Oh, he's fine.
He got to have a refill.
He's fine.
Or else get a bigger glass.
He doesn't want to use the bathroom. Shortly, but he
well,
did.
He had
a big breakfast this morning, and then he had a sandwich while we left.
Is he a good eater?
Very good. They're all good eaters. Johnny, I wish you could. He's taller than I am.
Yeah.
And he's bigger around the middle than I was when we got married. Not now. I'm still bigger than he is, but honestly, his waist is. Going away. If that child doesn't get some good exercise, he's supposed to be going out for football this year.
Yeah.
If that doesn't do it, I don't know what will. But
he's got a good appetite.
Man, that kid eats all day long. And he doesn't know when to quit. He doesn't have the sense to quit.
Yeah.
He'll sit there.
Yeah.
And if I have a cake on the table, I have to literally just take it off and go hide it because he won't leave it until it's gone.
Why, Faye?
He won't leave it alone. I have to ration it out to them.
How about that, Tom?
And one pie, you can get about, well, I make the big size pies. I don't stop with these little ones. You know, I get the biggest pie pans I can find. And they're about 10 or 12 inch pies, I think.
Uh-huh.
I think the regular one's 10. These are about 2 inches large, about a 12 inch pie. And I cut it, and I get about 8 pieces. 8 servings out of this pie, and they make good sized servings, and then a scoop of ice cream or two on it, depending on their appetite, you know, what they've had for supper. And that doesn't go anywhere. I have to have at least 2 big pies on the table when I have pie.
Sure.
I'm telling you, that's terrible. Berman has his share too. How he's lost 17 pounds, and that man can sit down and eat, and I have to sit there and starve. And I still gain just smelling it. It makes me so mad. And he went to the doctor and he said, doctor says, do you drink? And he said, no. He said, do you smoke? And he said, no. He said, you got 2 strikes in your favor. He said, do you eat? He said, yes.
The third strike went.
So they weighed him, and doggone if he hadn't lost 17 pounds from the time he'd been in there before last year. And he come home and he was so happy and so proud of himself. He hadn't realized he lost it, you know. But now he's going around there strutting, you know, and eating all he can, and it doesn't bother him. And here, ooh, and here I am with a half head of lettuce or a tomato or.
Well, what do you eat? Live on, Charlene?
Well, I eat a lot of fruits and I eat my vegetables. I eat a lot of red raw vegetables, lettuce and tomatoes, carrots and things like that.
You just
but
eat till they.
But you know,
so
I have found my problem. It wasn't that I was eating too much or the wrong type of food. What it was with me was a water problem. I retained all my water. I couldn't lose this, and I didn't know it until Dr. Thomas had put me on Hydroton, which is a water pill, and he told me to take one of these whenever I felt I needed them. And I took some, and I noticed that they would help me, you know, but I didn't realize that I should have taken more. And I can gain 17 pounds just like that, 16, 17 pounds just like that, if I go around all day with something to drink in my hand. And that's the way I usually went, you know. No one ever saw me, Harley, that I wasn't carrying a glass of water, a glass of tea, a cup of coffee, or something. Berman's sister came down. She was here 3 days. I gained 14 pounds in 3 days that she was here, because I just sat down and joined her with drinking coffee.
Yeah.
14 pounds. It wasn't 24 hours after she left. I took two of these pills. Before I went to bed, I took one when I got up the first day, two that following evening, which I'm only supposed to have one a day. But I can have more if I feel I need them. And I felt I needed them after she left, so I took these extra ones. And within 24 hours, I lost that 14 pounds. But I would have gained more if I hadn't stopped drinking, you see, and not taking those pills. I never saw anything like it. It's just, they thought at first that I had a hole in the bladder where the liquid was escaping through some other system. And that's what I was in the hospital for all those 5 days, trying to find out whether or not this was a problem, and they couldn't find anything. They did find a lot of liquid in the system. And in 5 days that I was in the hospital, I lost 22 pounds.
Good Lord.
5 days. So they knew then it was worse. Problem. So I've got to keep Hydrotons every day of my life now, and just remember to take them. And as long as I take them, I lose weight. But if they help me to eliminate the water. And I'm not as thirsty. I don't drink near as much. And I have another vitamin that I take, and they have something in them also not to cause me to be, you know, too thirsty.
Well, as long as you're full of water, how would you still be thirsty?
Oh, you don't know. I would go around all, and I wouldn't stop at a glass. I'd even get a quart jar if I couldn't find anything else. Just
well, what I take, that's what I take around.
And drink.
When I'm working, I could take a quart jar, but not when I'm, you know, not working.
Well, I kind of went off.
Quart jar, a lot of water, a lot of liquid.
It is. And I wouldn't take anything out. Well, I'd never be without anything to drink. I'd just carry around a glass of something in my hand all the day long.
And that was all your problem.
That was what my problem.
And you didn't know what in the world was.
I had no idea that I was gaining weight on water and liquids. I had no idea. But it was helping me to. You see, the foods then that I ate would turn to fatty tissue. There was no way of. With building up so much liquid in the body, there was somehow the system couldn't carry on the active digestive program that it should have in order to change the foods like they should have been. They just all turned to fat.
So you weren't getting.
So I was gaining weight from the foods, but the liquid was the cause of it all. If I could have eliminated that, the foods wouldn't have bothered me.
But old Dr. Thomas, if you had followed out his directions.
Well, on the Hydrotons, I did, as far as, if he had put me on these pills more regular, now he just had me take them maybe once a month or twice a month, something like that.
According to your judgment.
Uh-huh. And still, I had no idea that this was what the problem was. And really, they didn't either until after I got in the hospital, and they... See, they measure how much liquid you consume and how much you extract. And this way, they found out that I was consuming a whole lot more than I was extracting. So this way, they knew that I was retaining the liquid.
This was Dr. Cunningham?
No, I had a whole slew of doctors then.
Oh, I see.
That was at the university.
That's
when I was in there under observation. They ran me a $1,500 bill in 5 days' time, trying to find out what the trouble was. And then, but what I really went in there for, not only my weight, but that was at the time that I was having those, that paralysis in my hands.
Yeah.
And they couldn't tell me what was causing this.
And that was painful.
Yes, this would,
You had to
throb.
Take those pain definite killers.
That's right. Remember, I was on all those pills, and I strictly threw away every pill I had. Or rather, I didn't throw them away, but there was a lot of them there yet. I could still take if I need them. But I had a whole shelf line of pills, and I quit taking them all. I wouldn't take even an aspirin. I felt like, well, I'd have to take one pill to counteract another pill. And so on and so forth, until I was taking nothing but a handful of pills. And you'd have to take a quart of water to take all the pills. So I thought, well, I'm going to eliminate them all and see what happens. So on the 3rd of February, I hadn't had any pills in almost a month to get all the medicine out of my system. And then they started running these tests to see what the troubles could be. But it wasn't until after I left the hospital that they really found the trouble with my hands, because I went back as an outpatient, you see. And at the Walter Reed Hospital, they have some kind of a machine that they test nerves with through voltage. And at the Veterans Hospital, they just got in one of these machines. And this is the only other one like it. There's one in Walter Reed Hospital and this one here in the Veterans Hospital. So they had me go over there and use this machine. And the doctor hooked me up to this high voltage thing and tested the nerves in each of my hands, and they found that they were pretty well disturbed, and that an operation was in store to straighten it out. And what happened, he said that I had, at one time or another, had a slight heart attack and a stroke at the same time, or it could have been a heavy stroke. Well, I don't remember a heavy stroke, other than the emotional upset that I went through back in September a year ago. And since then, it might have caused this thing, you know, gradually over this period of time. But they did find that the nerves were so impaired that the ones on this side of the hands were crossed. And he said that was just like taking two bare wires and crossing them, two electric wires, and just seeing the static, you know, come from these wires. It's the same thing in my hand. I could feel the static in there. And it would shoot pains up my arms, and I'd have to shake them at night to get the blood to go down into my hands to circulate. See, it was real tight in here, and the blood couldn't get down into my hand to do me any good, just enough to keep me from my hand from turning black, but at times they would turn black. And these nerves were causing all of this buildup in here. So, and then this one here was too close to these that were crossed, and this one over here on this side of my hand was dead. So they just opened this up and went in and uncrossed these nerves here, moved this one over, and lifted this one up. And I've been fine ever since.
Quite a long time.
Haven't had the first pain, and it hasn't gone to sleep. I'm still a little bit weak, but I have 90% use of the hand where I had nothing at all before when I went into the hospital. It's just a miracle. Now this one here is very weak, and it's getting weaker. I was supposed to go back in this month to get this one done, but I'm going to wait till after hay season. But this one here has got to be done the same thing that this one was done to. But the strangest thing is when they cut on this hand, the pain stopped in this one. The deadness, you know, the circulation, it hasn't, the pain doesn't bother me anymore, but it's just that I'm losing strength now. And I just don't.
Was this a very, very long operation or anything?
It
I mean, by that, did you have to stay in the hospital?
I was in there 5 days. Mm-hmm. No, 7 days. I was in there a week. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, it's just a little thing, you know. I can go in right in one day and come out the next, and that'd be the longest. Boy, after they got through with it, and I found out that nerves can be a very tedious thing. It's worse than having a baby, really, because the nerves are disturbed and they have to be adjusted. Mm-hmm. And that was quite painful.
Yeah.
But I was so thankful that I got him to do it, because I can now. He told me, he says, you get a rubber ball and sit down and squeeze it so many times a day, you know, or whenever you're not doing anything, get this rubber ball and squeeze. Well, I did, and I got tired of looking for my little rubber ball every time I'd sit down to squeeze, you know, so I said, well, heck with this. So in the morning, I'd get up and go down and milk the cows. We got two cows. And you know, you got to stay with them. You got to milk them out, so you got to stay with it. And that forces me to go on, even though it gets painful, you see. So I continue to finish with the cows. And you've got to work so many minutes with a cow in order to milk her, so it works better than the... So I get more exercise this way, but I don't get enough. You see how they're bowed. I can't bend them back as far, and I can't bend my wrist back as far as it's supposed to go. But there, I should be exercising them more and trying to bend them back than I do. But I don't always think of it.
You got to think about something else.
Yeah, well,
you can't keep that on your mind.
No, if you did, if I did, I'd go crazy, I think.
Well, Shirley, what are you doing? Berman's work, what are you doing over there? What are you writing?
I got it all done. I'm finished. I quit. No, he's got one field there in front of that new house there that has, I've been wanting him to plant it in the sahaya grass ever since we lived there.
Yeah.
You remember, I remember that was my biggest peeve with him. Well, hey, I got him talked into it, and he went out there and cut it all up, disked it up. And it grew up again. And you want to sit on Mommy's lap?
Why don't you crawl over on it and that thing right now?
Okay.
Now look at that book.
Yeah.
And he was all for planting it. That was first of the spring. Well, we couldn't find any bahia seed. Or he couldn't. So I got busy and tried to find some. And what I found was too expensive, so we just didn't get around to planting it. Well, it came up in coffee beans, oh boy, it was terrible. And the fields had to be mowed before fertilizing for hay, you know. So, and there were some of them that grew up high in coffee beans. And he hadn't really mowed as much as he should down there. And the cows, I was afraid they'd get pink eye where they were grazing. The grass was, the weeds were getting so high. And every week, he just couldn't get around to it. And this past summer, you know, he had the project of the swimming pool on his hands.
Oh,
he couldn't leave that. So all this time, the weeds were growing and growing, and my nerves were getting on edge, you know. And I said, well, if you don't get down there and mow it, I am. I said, I can't stand it. I said, there's one cow now. I got out there in the barn. She's got pink eye. I said, I put some medicine in her eye, and I put her out there in the field of cow, milk cows so I could watch her. And I said, I'll put some more medicine in her eye. It looks like I'll turn her out in the pasture. And he said, well, he says, why don't you go down there and mow that then? I said, well, I can't stand it. I said, it's got to be mowed. And he says, well, I just can't get down there. Well, then that week, that was the week he came down with this thing on his face. So I went out there and I went around and around and around and around. And I mowed that field there where the barn is there at the house. And he watched the children since he couldn't work and he couldn't get outside. He sort of kept an eye on them. Bonnie played nursemaid and she'd take them ice water and want every now and then. So I figured, well, as long as he was there to kind of keep an eye on them and Bonnie could take him, you know, watch her daddy. I thought, well, I'm going to go out there and mow. So I spent almost the whole day out there mowing. And then this field over here in front of the house, after I got those three fields mowed, I went over there. And then they came out on Saturday, right after I finished mowing on Friday. And they fertilized that middle field for that pangola for hay. And that field out there in front of the house was so thick with coffee beans that he never did get it planted. So I went out there and mowed that field down. And He said, he told me, he says, you know, that grind would do better if you went out there and disked it. Well, then I went back out there and disked it. And it came back up. He got better then, and he was going to plant it again. He found some bahia seed, and he was going to plant it again. He never got around to it. And I thought, well, boy, all that work gone to waste. And here it came back again in coffee beans and weeds.
Sure.
So I went back out there again the second time, and I mowed it. I'm not going to disc it. I'm not going to do it. Cut and pick a thing to it. I quit. If he was, he can get out there and get dirty and disc it and then plant it. But I thought, well, if he don't get in bahia seed by next spring, I'm going to get some go out there and sprinkle it on the ground and see what I can do. I got so disgusted after getting all that ground just right.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
And then him fiddling around didn't get the seed. It made me so mad. Oh,
well, there's so many things that can delay you.
Yeah,
know.
Well, I know. He's trying he's trying to do that work there at the about that time, make everything else worse. There on the job, Mr. Bennett came to him and asked him if he wouldn't go over to Shuck Village rather than Diamond Village, and he really liked it at Diamond Village. He didn't want to go, really. But to help him out, he says, we're having a personality conflict over there. He says, I think one of the bosses and the men didn't get along well. He says, if you can't get along with him, he says, I'm going to fire him. He says, because if anybody can't get along with you, he says, they ought to be fired.
Is that right?
Berman, you know how he talks. He's just friendly with everyone. And he went over there, and this guy and Berman are just like two buddies, and there's not a worry between them. So everything's
right?
Going along just right. Berman likes the job.
Well, sir.
He's just crazy about it. But he said he stays busy over there. He likes it in a way because he said he don't notice the time so much, you know.
Yeah.
He's the type that has to be busy anyhow. He's getting fat and lazy over there in that other place, so I'm glad to see him change jobs. So
well, you know, you said that, I know a lot of people that go up there and they don't have time on their hands.
No.
But I guess you can get in a niche now and then where it goes pretty slow.
Well, over there at Diamond Village, you see what happened. All the buildings over there are modern buildings, more or less. I mean, they're up to date, and all the equipment inside is more or less up to date. But over here at Chuck Village, you have all those, what do you call them, these barracks, as I call them. They look like barracks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the old-time army barracks.
Oh, really?
They used some of those. They've got them up for temporary buildings in there, renting out.
Oh.
I think they're charging $30 a month for the apartments. But
and there's no end of work on that.
No, there's always something to do. So that's why he said they over here you have work. Over there you didn't have much to do.
Uh-huh.
And he said he's more or less pleased over there because he keeps him busy. He likes the crew over there. He gets along just well with everybody. Problem there, but this guy. And the fella he was working, evidently, he thought he was trying to ride him to death, trying to make him to do more than his share or something. But,
say, I'm going to take Shirley in the back pasture. And we're going to look around, and we might see a cow or two back there.
You do that.
Okay, I'd like to see them. You got any young ones?
We'll wake them up.
You want to lay down? You want to go look at the cows?
Yes,
ma'am.
He's so big, I can't believe he's your baby.
Oh, I can't either. Putting him on that bus to school was the hardest.
It looks like they just had nothing to do but sit in their mouth and their nose in a feed bucket.
How's your horse?
Hmm?
Do you ride your horse? Have you just got one?
Hmm?
I bet you're in that swimming pool. I think that's what
you're
in.
Oh, yes, I knew there was something. I want to hear about that swimming pool, Shirley.
Oh, I've been in it. Don't think I haven't. I've been going back and forth like a fish.
All right, now just tell me.
Yeah, the therapy. I think that's one of Berman's reasons why he built that thing, because of this arthritis that I have in my spine.
Here's some peaches that won't make you gain, and some carrots.
Yes.
And
she don't want this other stuff. She's raw vegetables at home.
I'll just have a cup of coffee with you, because we did have dinner before we came over, and I don't think Tommy's going to be too hungry.
Tom? He going to eat with me.
Aren't you going to have a bologna sandwich with us?
Yes.
Oh, boy, that's
like
his favorite.
Bologna
favorite.
Yeah. Well, how, tell me about your friend.
Well,
you got it open by the 4th of July?
Oh, yes. Well, it wasn't open by the 4th of July, but he was in full swing with it by then. Him and the boys. You know, it's been the one thing that I have really, I was against it at the beginning. And I said, well, you can't have it unless there's a chain link fence all the way around. It was a lock on the gate, you know, that
yeah.
I can lock the neighbor kids out of and Tommy.
Yeah.
So, because I don't want anyone drowning in that fence. So he says, all right, we'll put a chain link fence around. He says, I want you to have this more than anything, because he said, I think you'll do this arthritis good. I said, well, that'd be fine. I said, providing you put the fence up. You know, the pool's been built. They've been swimming for a month, I guess, just about, and there's still no fence around. And that
well,
thing
I thought you had a fence.
Me. Oh, no, he hasn't yet got it up.
You got enough to show.
Yes, ma'am, just a little, please. And,
he got the fence, but I didn't put it up?
No, he hasn't got it yet. He went to Sears, but Sears wants to come out and install it. He wants to do the installing himself. And he went someplace else to price it, and they want $10 more than he can get for in Orlando. So now he wants to go to Orlando, but we got to wait until we go down to Orlando rather than make a special trip.
Sure.
So that's why we have no special.
Well, what does Sears care who installs it?
They're maintenance men, I guess, for Sears. Comes out and installs this, but this is included in the price, you see, when you buy your fence. So, and Berman doesn't want to pay the price for installing it. He wants to do all this himself to save money. Which, he's got a point there. And then if he buys the fence, there is a contractor that he knows there in Orlando. I forget the name of the firm he's with, but anyway, he can get the fencing for him. For I think it's $35 total, cheaper than what he can buy the same amount of fencing for here. So that's where he wants to go to get it, and he's just put it off, you know, and hasn't gone down the line.
How tall does that fence have to be?
6 foot, at least 6 foot. And I want barbed wire on the top of it, you know, so they can't climb over, because that's just what they'll try to do when I'm not there, I'm afraid. I don't think mine will, because they know better. But
you're responsible for
somebody else's child.
You know they will.
Even now, while I'm here, I worry about neighbors, you know, that might come on the place and walk around and look at the animals and whatnot and let their children run.
Yeah, yeah.
And they go right out there, that's fun too. That's the first place children seem to go is up to that water. They're like ducks. I think they smell it. But,
well, how big, how much do you have to fence in around the pool?
Let me see. It's 16 feet wide, and it's 38 feet long, I believe it is. And then he's got a 3 foot, 4 foot sidewalk all the way around it on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to put a ledge up there. But the children that I've seen in the swimming pools before would have more accidents on this ledge than anything else. So I had him put it just on a sloping, the sidewalk on a slope right up to the edge of the pool, and it goes right into the pool. But the slope is to keep the water, the sand and their feet and the dirty water from going back into the pool.
Oh, yeah.
It
yeah.
drains off.
Oh.
And there is no ledge at the end of the pool. It just drops right off even at the pool. The sidewalk and everything is level with the pool, the edge of the pool. And it has a 6 foot drop at the deep end. It starts out at a 3 foot drop for the little fellas, and it goes on a slope, gradual slope.
Uh-huh.
Now, the one down at the creek that Wheeler's built, W.W. Gay Construction Company built it. I wish you could see that thing. And they have it drained out now for cleaning and painting because they're getting ready for a big shindig over there.
He knows. Tommy knows when things
Maloney
are going right.
Maloney, poor Maloney, his face, ever since he's been a little bitty thing, he has been a one for Maloney. He would crawl up on the chair and just Maloney
just
they couldn't
the
find anything else. But he said that W.W. Gay built this pool out there at the creek, and when he built it, he made it 8 foot deep at the deep end. And he came up on a slope, but the way he did it, he came up on almost a hill like in the middle of the thing.
Oh,
see?
Yeah.
And it comes from the shallow end down, then you go down a steep grade to the deep end.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone diving from the diving board that he has up there that didn't know that steep hill was there would dive right into that cement floor.
Oh, Lord.
It's dangerous. I didn't know it was there. My kids have been in the pool. And if they had jumped off, if I had let them dive off that diving board, I'm always afraid, you know, unless I know what's underneath,
yeah.
To let them die. So I wouldn't let them die. But if I hadn't been there and they had dove off of there, they'd have hit that thing sure as I'm standing. Timmy now ran out there the first thing, and he got on that side. That was before he learned to swim in. He got on that diving board. I thought, well, I'm going to let him go. He got out there, and he just jumped up and down, and here he went right down in the water. That thing was 8 feet deep. He couldn't swim. And I let him bobble for a while. After that, then he waits for the rest of us to get around the water before they all jump in. But they, and Mom and Daddy inspect it, you know, no matter where we're at. But he's learned his lessons, but good. I just let him bobble up and down there for a few minutes till he...
Well, how much trouble was it to build?
Quite a bit. He really had his problems with it, but he, I thought he did a very, very good job for not ever building one before.
Well, tell me kind of how he went about it.
Well, he took, you know that boxed-in blade that he has for the back of the tractor?
Yeah.
He put that on there. You know, some have a front-end loader from the front. This is on the back. And he dropped the box down. And pull it behind him, you see. Pull it on out of the, and he just dug his hole out that way. And he'd come back and drop it down and pull it on out more. Until he got it down. Now he went he had to dig it 3 blades wide. So he'd make trips with this blade, then come back and make another trip this blade, and another trip this blade, until he got it down the deep depth that he wanted it, and he'd go up on a gradual slope. So he was digging the whole thing at one time. And it wasn't much of a problem there. But he had to dig it wider than he was doing to put the swimming pool because of having to get down there at work. So he did very well. He built the size up, you see, with blocks. And then I couldn't figure out how he was going to do it. And he wouldn't tell me. I had to watch him. And of course, he knew I'd have other ideas, too. So he was going to do it the way he wanted to do it. He didn't let me in on the scoop at all. I had to sit there and watch. So after he got started, he started out with the block, and I figured that's what he was going to do, but I couldn't figure out how he was going to keep that on a slope, you know, without having to cut the blocks into or on a slope. But he had it all figured out. He got it done by using bricks. Instead of half blocks, he used bricks. And he had that thing coming up on the gradual slope. I'm telling you, he just made a wonderful job. Just a beautiful job.
Well, what does it do with the blocks then? Waterproofs them?
Uh-huh. They have a paint that has a sealer in the paint. And that was my job. After he got the blocks up there, then I went in there and painted the inside. He helped me put
the
second
slope. Oh, you
didn't
have it seen that yet. Pool. You didn't have a well, go ahead.
Concrete.
I mean.
The bottom was a 6-inch thick concrete,
uh-huh.
You see, all the way to the top. And then your blocks, you see, were all concrete.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, now he filled every third or fourth block full of concrete. He didn't do it solid all the way down the side. He didn't think it would be necessary. And then he poured the lintel the top block, the lintel block, full of concrete, and he reinforced this with steel. And you see, you got your dirt pressing. And he's got his dirt pushing from one side and the water pushing from the other, so really you don't need too much of a foundation between the two of them. But you figured he
does could. He get the wall, the dirt, where he can just almost lay the blocks up against it?
No, he
not
left
that
he left a ditch, I guess you'd say, about half as wide as this room is, to, you know, to work all the way around the pool.
Oh.
And after he got it built up, just like building a house, and then he pushes dirt back into the edge of the
pool. Loose dirt.
He had a mound of dirt way up there. And Timmy and Danny ran up and down the sides of this mound. And I was out there talking to this lady about those four heifers that I sold her.
Yeah.
And I told the children, I said, come on, let's go to the house. No, they'd just taken their shower. That's what it was. And I was waiting for them to finish and walked back to the house with them. And they drove up, so I left. And they were all dressed and coming behind me. I said, let's go to the house. I want you to stay there while I'm down in the field talking cows to this lady. And I looked behind me, here come Tommy and Danny and Timmy. And Johnny was finishing up with the mortar. He was cleaning up the mortar troughs and whatnot over there. And they were all headed to the house. So I walked on down to the barn and met them at the barn and went out to the field. And I had no more got out in that field. I heard Johnny scream and he kept yelling, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. And I said, Johnny, I'll be there in a little bit. And he said, Tommy's head is hurt and he's bleeding all over or something like that. And by then, Berman had joined us. And I said, honey, you run to the house. You can get there faster than I can and see what happens. I said, if it's serious, I said, you blow the horn or something and I'll come, you know, in the truck. So he did. And a few minutes later, he came moseying back out there like he had all day. So I thought, well, there's nothing to it. Well, I finished talking to these people, made the sale, and went back to the house. And Tommy was laying on the bed asleep. And Timmy came up to me and said, I bumped Tommy's head. I said, I heard you did. I said, you hurt him bad? He said, a little bit. He said, but you ought to see what he did to me. And he started to cry. And I said, well, Timmy, what's the matter? And he said, I didn't tell Daddy about it. I'm afraid I'm going to get a whipping. I said, well, what's the matter? And then he looked at me and he started to cry. What he did, he showed me his teeth, you know, and he had cracked one of his front teeth, broke it right off, kitty corner. And that made me just sick. But what worried me more was that the tooth, he had bumped into his head. And I was afraid, and there was blood, so I was afraid the piece of tooth was buried in his head. And so I woke him up, I shook him, and I looked in his and it's sore, and he had two teeth marks that went right down into his forehead. He still got the scar right. It went down into his forehead. It was all swollen up there, and he just, and his eyes, they looked odd to me, and they kept rolling, you know, and he couldn't stay awake, and that scared me. So I had to get the dentist and the doctor on the phone right away, you know, find out what I should do with his, about his tooth. I didn't know. I'd never had any of them break their tooth and chipping like that before, so. He said there wasn't anything he could do but to put some medicine and a cap on it for the time being. And it would only last a couple of weeks, but he'd have to wear it that way until he was about 15 years old, and then they can recap it, or it might grow down enough that they can file it off, but I doubt that.
Well, you really have had, you missed your calling. You should have been a doctor.
I sure should have been. I don't know. I'm ready for a master's degree by the time I get through with the five.
Yeah. At least.
You won't have a piece of sour cream cake? No.
No, thank you, ma'am.
Okay. Would you have a piece of cake?
Yes, ma'am. Thomas?
Well, now, your fence, will that go right up against the walk?
Right up against the sidewalk, but he wants to put a little bit of a concrete edging underneath the fence to keep the grass from growing up in
there.
But those children have really enjoyed that. The money that he put into that swimming pool, I could have finished the house and halfway furnished it.
Oh, really?
I imagine.
Is that right?
That's right.
All that concrete was costing.
Yeah, that's right. And him doing, well, you see, we didn't think that we'd put in over $500 to $600 when he started out with it.
$500 to $600.
And by the time we got through with just the foundation and the pool in general, but then there had to be the filter and the pumps and the piping and the drainage, and all this had to go with it. You see, it has to be built specification to the health regulations, and if it isn't, they can come out and close it down. But I wanted it built that way anyhow for the children's safety, and to make sure it was no fungus in their ears and all this. So he had to build it by the regulations, and I thought he'd checked into everything, but he hadn't checked into the filter price and the pump price and the piping. So it ran us more than what he had thought it would. So when I called to check on some more of the prices to see if I couldn't find some better buys than what he had found, the fella told me, he said, the size of the pool that you're building, and it was underground, wasn't on top of ground, he said, would run you, if a contractor built it, $4,000. I said, you're kidding. And he said, no, it's $4,000 is what we charge you for a price for a pool that size.
Good Lord.
And so he has got away with less than fourth of the price, but it cost him around $900 where he figured on six.
I know,
and
for a pool for $900 is just unbelievable.
This lady that I was talking to over there at Maryland's beauty shop, and she's somewhere from around here, McIntosh somewhere, she said she had her son build her one, and the cheapest that he could come out with was $2,700, and it was only waist deep to her.
So
I guess maybe he's done all right, so I can't complain too much, I guess, but still I could have done a lot with that money, you know, in the house. So
she know what made it glisten, baby.
No, it wasn't a glisten. I don't know who she was. She complained about, she said her house needed painting, but she would have to buy a paint factory in order to paint it. That's about the only thing I could.
Oh, that's the Collins. That's the Pearson. She's a gray hair. Was she an older one?
She was.
Yeah, well, her son built the pool. I didn't realize it. That she had
built,
yeah. They
were
here right there.
She
turned the phone.
Well, she acted like she, the way she talked, I don't know, it made me think that she lived somewhere around McIntosh. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's a pool right next to us.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Well, maybe that's the one.
Uh-huh. Well, it could be somewhere. I've got pools all around here.
Well,
but
they're not.
$900, Shirley. You know, I sort of dreamed of a pool when we had that solid ditch out here already built, and it was going to cost us so much to have it filled.
Mm.
And I sort of dreamed of a pool because it would be so good, but I have this shoulder that needs extra time. Be better than riding a horse.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, it just seemed like it didn't make much sense.
Okay. Well, I don't know. You know, with the children.
We can always go to somebody else's.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
With these
children, they're all the time wanting to swim.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny has to have so much exercise. If he doesn't get this exercise, he's just
mm-hmm.
going to be, you know. He is an active boy.
Mm-hmm.
He's not that lazy.
Well, for $900, I just think it's marvelous.
Well, in a way,
$900 a lot of other places, but that's still not
yeah.
much so cool.
Well, it was my idea to take the children and go for a 2-week vacation over at the beach.
Yeah.
Or in a cottage. That was my idea.
Yeah.
But that would have been money, like he said, blown away.
Yeah.
And this way, the pool would be there year after
yeah.
year, and they can use it. Then that 2 weeks would have been up, and that was all the
yeah.
fun they'd have had. Now they can go to the backyard and go swim anytime.
I think that's sound.
And not only that, but for all the money in the world, I wouldn't trade that pool for anything now. Mainly because Danny learned to swim about 2 weeks after he started, it wasn't 2 weeks, it was because I had kept him in the shallow water, and I thought, oh boy, I don't want him to drown, you know. Well, he jumped in at the deep end, and off he took, right across the pool, turned around, came back, and then he's been going back and forth like a porpoise all ever since. You can't slow him down. 5 hours, I timed them. They were in that pool 5 hours one day. They hadn't gone in at all. They had always gone down 2.5, maybe, hours at the most, you know, and sat there and watched them, because they won't let them go in unless one or the other of us are down there watching. So I thought, well, I'll have time and just see how long they'll go back and forth and get tired out, you know.
5 hours.
They hadn't been in any at all on that Saturday. We went to Orlando, came back, and they wanted to go in the pool. It was almost dark. I said, well, not today. I said, we'll let you go in tomorrow and let you stay a little bit longer. Well, I let him go in. I thought, well, I'm not going to call them out. I'm going to see how long they'll swim before they'll finally come out. 5 hours they were in there, and I had a time getting them out.
Where is it, Shirley?
It's, well, you know, as you're coming up the laneway, the front of the house,
mm-hmm.
It's on the far side.
Mm-hmm.
It's there by the horse shed.
Shirley, I just happened to think about it. I want you to tell me about Miss Guthrie's wedding.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I wish I'd known about that. I would have been there.
You didn't know about it. I thought she said she had gotten in touch with you all about her wedding. I know she did, because she said that she went over to Maryland to get her hair done for the wedding. And she told me that she got in touch with you folks to go, because I certainly wanted you to know about it. And we had talked about it, and she had told me, either through Marilyn, that she was going to contact you, or that she'd contacted you herself.
Well,
it's
my fault, for not keeping up with you all.
Oh, well, here we haven't been over in ages and ages. But you haven't been over since the wedding?
No.
Goodness, she's been married over a year. Been married over a year.
Church wedding.
And, I'll tell you, that was something. And one thing I wanted to talk her out of, and I finally did, and I thought it best. But I told her my thought about it. She wanted to get married in a white wedding gown. And I told her I didn't think it would be proper to do such a thing after her and Mr. Guthrie being married, and it wasn't her first wedding. And I said, why don't you just tell me, if you don't want it, honey, don't play with it. That's God's food.
You can take it home with you.
Thank you.
Take it in the car with you in case you need it on the way.
So she said she wanted to get married in the veil and all, you know. And I said, oh, no. I said, I wouldn't do that. I just gave her my opinion. You know, I thought I should. I mean, I just couldn't see her in a white wedding gown. I'm going down the aisle with Marvin. I just couldn't do it. Not after they've been together all these years. So I thought, well, I was just going to say it and be done with it. It would have bothered me the rest of my life if I hadn't.
Yeah.
So she consented to wearing a real light patterned blue dress with the white accessories. And the maid of honor wore a tan colored dress and white accessories. Marvin looked real nice. He had on a pinstripe in the 40s suit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he really looked nice.
But he's nice looking, probably.
He is. What he sees of her, I don't know. But everyone's in their own taste, I guess. But I feel sorry for him. I certainly do. I always have. But she just bawled him out over nothing.
I never heard her bawl him out.
You haven't?
No.
One day we were standing there talking. It hasn't been too many days ago when we were standing there talking. And Marvin, he's always real friendly anyway. And he wanted to say hello. I know when I came up the door, because I hadn't been there in a couple of weeks. And he was outside mowing when I drove in the front. So he started coming around the back. And by that time, I was inside and sat down there at the dining table and was talking with him. Well, on his way back, on the way around, he mowed this strip right up close to the house, which is a mistake. and she was talking to me at the same time, and boy did she blow up, because she couldn't hear, you know, we couldn't hear each other think because of the noise. She couldn't wait for him to shut that motor off, and he was on his way to the back door. And oh boy, she didn't cut loose, just like a sailor.
Yeah.
At him. And I felt, I know he felt about that high, but he never said a word.
Yeah.
Not a word.
Yeah.
And he shut it off, and he says, I was on the way in. I just felt like, oh, Marv.
No, sir, I've never heard.
Huh? How she can cut him like that.
Down there at the Ford Tractor place, you know, one of their friends that sold him that equipment. He has heard her blast away.
She can do it. Oh,
no,
she embarrasses me.
I'd like to hear one, but I don't want to be the.
Marvin says if I was Marvin, I'd lay her out flat. I imagine he would. Marvin and I don't always agree on anything, but I certainly wouldn't treat him that way. I'll tell you.
But it's a nice wedding.
It was a very nice wedding, but if I had been her, or if it had been me, I just wouldn't have done such a thing. They went out elaborately for that wedding.
Oh, did they?
Oh, yes. And the set of rings that Marvin bought for was about $800. The flowers, the candles, and everything. I just wish you could have seen it. Everything. The church was just fixed up something beautiful, and they had a singer there to sing two songs, and they probably paid him quite a price for singing the song. I don't know where they found him, and I could have done just as well, and I'm not a singer by no means, but one was, whether thou goest, I shall go, you know, and the other, I don't know, but there were some words in that song, whether thou goest, that just didn't go right, you know, in there, and I thought everybody in the church was going to die laughing.
Oh, really?
And, of course, they tried to hide it, you know, they were snickering and laughing and trying to hide their heads, you know.
Well,
the words just didn't go right with her, and she should have realized it, of course.
Well, she got a sense of humor.
Yes, she has.
I mean, hadn't she? I mean, she was.
I've got to find it.
you haven't found it.
She's always, I just feel sorry for her in a lot of ways, because she's always complaining so much about the price of living, I guess, anything and everything. And I have yet to sit down and have a real enjoyable conversation like we do. It's just unbelievable. She has got a sense of humor. I haven't found it.
Well, it's been a long time since.
Berman can't. He's there 5 minutes and he's got to go home. He says everybody's got problems, but why go all to pieces over them, you know? She just can't even visit without complaining.
Is that right?
I've got a lot of complaints.
She never complained when I was there. Well, what in the world? What do you suppose it was? She just didn't pay attention to me, I guess, when I was there. She just figured it wouldn't do any good to go.
She's a character in a way. Well, Marvin, I always thought every man had a little backbone anyway. Poor Marvin, he just takes everything with a grain of salt, I guess.
Yeah, he used to.
I don't know. I don't know whether he's scared to death or what it is.
Yeah.
But Berman says, I wish I'd go over there one time and just talk to Marvin. He says, I go over there and talk to Marvin, and he says, I can't even, he can't say, you'll talk to him or ask him something. Mrs. Guthrie will answer. I call her Mrs. Guthrie right on. I can't ever think. I said, I'm going to have to think to call her Mary, because when we talk about Mrs. Townsend, there's so many texts.